Hello again, and welcome to the English Phrasal Verb plus Expat Life podcast. I want to start by quickly inviting you to our new private Facebook group that I have created for introverted language learners. So there's a 50% chance that that could be you. You can access it from my Instagram, which has a new name that finally makes sense. My new Instagram name is English period for period introverts. So that's English for introverts with a period in between each word. The old name was Empanada de Nada. And a lot of people told me that they thought that name was funny, but most people didn't understand it. So now it makes sense. English.for.introverts. There's a link to the Facebook community in my Instagram bio. The topic for today is, are phrasal verbs informal? Or even, are phrasal verbs slang? So the quick answer is no, absolutely not, I promise. I'm sure that you've seen some pictures from the internet that say otherwise, but they are wrong. I'm sorry, they're wrong. But I'll explain, and this concept is important, so please listen carefully. This is a concept in the English language that if you understand this, you'll be a lot less confused from here on out. The concept I'm talking about is separating the idea of phonetics from spelling in English. So that means the way that things sound versus the way that they're spelled. This is hard to do for a lot of people who speak really phonetic languages. Phonetic means that everything sounds the way that it's spelled. So Spanish, for example. You know, A is always A, O is always O, unless there's an accent over it. English is not this way. You have to forget that idea. The idea that single letters do not represent predictable sounds is really hard to believe. But believe me, especially with our vowels. You know, we have five vowels in English, just like in Spanish, for example, but approximately 15 vowel sounds. Listen, 15 vowel sounds. So what does that mean? That means that a letter doesn't represent a single sound. So for example, the letter A has approximately six different sounds, six different A's. Let's think of like app. Animal, calendar. At the end, it's spelled AR and it sounds like an E. I don't have examples ready for this to give you the six different sounds, but yeah, definitely the vowels have many different sounds. So I know this is kind of awful. This is one of the negative sides of English. I think that French is like this, but I haven't studied French yet, but I will study French. But yeah, a thing with the vowels and the lack of consistency. Okay, so there's that concept that I need you to understand. English is not phonetic. Then English has another very predominant or very strong concept of connected speech and reductions. I'll do another episode about how this directly relates to phrasal verbs in the future. But hear me now. This is also very crucial if you want to understand native speakers. We do not speak fast. We speak with our words connected. This is a misconception that not just English learners have, but learners of every language think that they speak really fast in the other language, and they don't. There are technical speed differences, but the difference is not very big between most languages. It just sounds fast because you don't understand each thing they're saying, and the rhythm is different. Okay, so if you want to look into it now, I mean the concept of phrasal verbs. Sorry, I got confused here from my notes. If you want to look into it, that means to research. If you want to look into the concept of connected speech, go to YouTube and just search for English connected speech, because this is a world that you need to become familiar with, a concept to become familiar with. All right, so this is especially where the idea of suggesting that some things are informal or slang comes in. Because the way that we connect our words sounds different than the way we would write them. So I'm not sure why people consider this informal, but also I think that it's because this concept doesn't really exist in other languages, like the concept of, they're pushing all of their words together, or that we don't pronounce all of our letters. In some languages, if people do that, then it's slang. It's those people don't have education, or those people speak badly. But listen, in English, that is not the case. If we put our words together, if the pronunciation doesn't sound like what you'd expect, it's nothing about education, it's nothing about slang. Yeah, so basically I've seen so many like pictures and infographics that say want to learn slang, and then it's a list of connected speech, like spelling it out phonetically. So what I mean is, for example, we write the words want to, but then when we say it, every time, basically every time, every person in any situation, if a native speaker says it, we pronounce it wanna, wanna. And so if you try to spell the way that it sounds, wanna, you will spell it WANNA, wanna. But we don't spell it that way, we only say it that way. So then people start thinking that if you say wanna, you're talking slang or you're speaking fast, and you're not. This is the difference between the concept of the way it's written and the way it's said. So I hate that those pictures confuse people, because it's really a concept. If you want to sound natural, you should connect your speech. And most people I've seen, like in Facebook groups with a lot of people, they actually are avoiding this because they heard that it's slang. I mean, another example, if I typed the sentence, I am going to go home, I would never say, I am going to go home. I would say, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home. And that's just the way it is. So, okay, in conclusion there, the way we speak sounds a lot different than the way we write. Okay, with those two very important concepts out of the way, the concept of English is not phonetic, it's not, things are not pronounced the way they're spelled, and that we connect our speech in ways that you would not guess from seeing the way it's written. Let me make this clear that English writing and English speaking are very, very different in other ways too. So, relating this back to phrasal verbs, basically, here's how you can think of it. Our writing is formal. I mean, if we spoke the way that we wrote, it would sound terrible. It would sound very robotic. Everything that is spoken is basically what you would think of as informal. Everything, even in business meetings, because you're speaking, okay? So formal in English doesn't sound appropriate coming out of your mouth unless you're giving a keynote address at the president's ball, something like this. If you're addressing hundreds of people, basically, probably not a thing that you will have to do. I'm going to show you some examples of presidents of the United States speaking to illustrate this to you. If presidents don't have to speak in this formal, robotic way, then I don't think you have to either, okay? So the main idea here is that even in formal situations, anything spoken is basically what you would think of as informal. So if your goal is to speak, you can stop worrying so much about formal and informal. So actually what you'll want to do is make sure that you're not speaking formal things too much. If a native teacher or speaker tells you, well, that makes sense, but it sounds really formal, this is what they mean. There's a word or phrase that's better to avoid speaking. Or if they tell you that's a word or a phrase that sounds formal, that probably means that that word is better to save it for your writing. And look, this word writing, it's pronounced in American English without a strong T. It's writing, writing. Sounds exactly like riding a horse, but you know it's not from the context. So some teachers also, you know, they consider these things, and a lot of people have their own opinions about what's formal or informal, but I see this really clearly for myself, that what we need to do is make the distinction just between written and spoken English. So if a teacher tells you that sounds formal, that's what they mean. The word is probably fine to write. So even emails can have these formal words and phrases, even if the email isn't formal because it's written, it's okay. So it's truly better if we didn't have to use the words formal and informal, and instead we just said spoken and written. Spoken versus written. From now on, I think I'm going to start using that instead because it's much less confusing for people. But for the purpose of this episode, I'm going to continue. See, I'm going to continue saying formal and informal. Okay, we're going to listen to 1 minute of Barack Obama speaking, giving a keynote speech. That's a very important speech. Let's see how many phrasal verbs we can find, okay? Listen closely.
Country and its leaders, his devotion to duty and service, I thought, this young man was all that any of us might ever hope for in a child. But then I asked myself, are we serving Seamus as well as he's serving us? I thought of the 900 men and women, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors who won't be returning to their own hometowns. I thought of the families I've met who were struggling to get by without a loved one's full income, or whose loved ones had returned with a limb missing or nerves shattered, but still lacked long-term health benefits because they were reservists. When we send our young men and women into harm's way, we have a solemn obligation not to fudge the numbers or shade the truth about why they are going, to care for their families while they're gone, to tend to the soldiers upon their return, and to never, ever go to war without enough troops to win the war, secure the peace, and earn the respect of the world.
I don't like that clip. I don't like what he's saying at all, but let's talk about it. For 1 minute, just 1 minute of listening to him speak, I counted 4 phrasal verbs: hope for, get by, care for, tend to. So I'm just showing you this to exemplify that, yes, phrasal verbs are used in formal situations. Okay. I forgot to add, I wanted to tell you that this entire speech by Barack Obama is 16 minutes long, and I counted 25 phrasal verbs in the speech, so that's more than one phrasal verb every minute. Okay, this seems like a good time to tell you about a concept that will help you a lot in deciding what is formal and what is informal for words in English, especially if you speak a Latin language. So remember that English is heavily influenced by Latin, German, Old Norse, so that's like Old Norwegian, and French. Okay. Often we choose between a Latin-based word or a German word. And you know what? We always choose the German word unless we are writing. And then we will more often choose the Latin word. This is really like most of the time, okay? Why? I don't remember the name of the guy, but there was a guy in a book. There was some guy a long time ago who wrote like one book, who said that it's more proper. This was his opinion. We should use Latin words if we want to be proper. That was just an opinion. That book was really influential, for linguistics and English. And the other reason is that we use Latin words for law and for science. So that's to say, academic purposes. So in our brains, we know of these other words that we could use, but they're always saved for something. When I say formal, this is how formal I mean. If you use a certain word, it might really sound like you're reading from a science report, or you're a lawyer reading from a law book, okay? I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, so, really this episode could almost be titled formality and informality in English, because I'm telling you of all of these other aspects of formality or informality before we get to phrasal verbs, but it all connects and it's important, okay? So I'm gonna use a Latin-based language to show you what I mean about choosing the German word over the Latin word. I'm gonna leave a link in the description. This is just a list on Wikipedia of Germanic and Latin equivalents of words in English. And you can basically just go down this list and see, oh, okay, yeah, that's true. Like, and a native speaker would always be choosing this German word in conversation. So let's see. What do we have here? Commence or start? Well, a Spanish speaker would probably want to say, like, comenzar, and they might think, ah, comenzar, commence. But we would never say commence. We would say start. Endeavor or try. We would always say try. And let's see, how would a Spanish speaker? No, they also have tratar. Well, anyways. Endeavor. The first words that I'm reading, they're all Latin based, and the second are all German. Here's one. Terminate or end? A Spanish speaker would say terminar, so they might say terminate. But we would never say terminate unless we were writing a legal contract. We would say end. Response or answer? Well, responder sounds like response, doesn't it? Answer. Some of these are not super formal, like, but yeah, like, yeah, so response doesn't sound formal, but I still wouldn't say it. I would write it. I wouldn't say it. Here's one that's like doesn't sound formal. Large and big. Spanish speaker would say largo, large. Probably wouldn't say large. Most of the time we would just say big. Sometimes we might say large if we're trying to spice up the, because big is like a really small word that's used a lot. We might sometimes say large. Here's one, arrive or get to or come. I'm forever telling my Spanish speaking students, just stop saying arrive. Basically, just you don't have to say it, because we only use arrive for like the airport. We always say get to or come when I got home or when I came home. When I arrive home, sounds very formal. And the last one, signify or mean. Significar, signify, significar. But no, mean. Well, these are just like, I just chose a few random ones. There's just, I think, thousands and thousands of these that you can see. So, if you speak a Latin-based language, and you know that there's a cognate, but you also know there's another way to say it in English, say it that way. So, if you can identify multiple possible words in English, you know that you could say signify or mean. Probably go with the one that is not the Latin-based one. Okay. That being said, taking it back to phrasal verbs are pretty much never using these Latin-based words in them. Okay, the phrasal verbs, they almost always have the shorter Germanic words. So we speak them, right? Like, because we speak those words more than we write. So in any situation, formal or informal, and even if your goal isn't to sound natural, and you're okay with sounding robotic, the thing is that you also want to understand, to have decent listening skills. So you need to be able to understand when natives use these phrasal verbs, right? So, like, I have had students who I could tell that they have just read a lot in English and maybe a lot of technical things, or maybe not even technical things, but they read, but they didn't have contact with native speakers. And so they just spoke exactly like the book. And I was always just suggesting, okay, this word's more natural, this word's more natural. But yeah, like I said, theoretically, if you don't care if you sound unnatural, okay, fine, fine. But yeah, like the problem is that you're gonna want, like, native speakers are not gonna speak that way, so you have to understand the phrasal verbs that they use. Okay, so to summarize, in conclusion, number one, the pictures that you see online that say want to learn slang or want to speak fast are just showing you connected speech the way that it sounds, and they are spelling it the way that it sounds. So they're spelling it wrong. They have failed to acknowledge that spoken and written English are fundamentally different. Those words are perfectly natural, formal or informal. They are not slang in spoken English. This is how you spell the words, and they have only spelled out the sounds. This is important to remember. This is an important concept to remember when thinking of what is or isn't formal. Number two, nothing that we say is formal. Almost nothing. Okay, business English is another topic that I'll cover in another episode. But that's more. It's not about formal or informal. It's more a matter of politeness, indirectness, because we're very indirect in English. But with business English, you have to be indirect and assertive. But you really don't want to be formal, because formal is very cold, very detached. This is not good for business, which is all about connection. Okay. And number three, instead of thinking of formal versus informal, it's much more useful to think of English in terms of written and spoken English. Even though your teacher is probably in the habit of referring to things as formal or informal, if you start asking better questions, they can give you better answers. You can ask your teacher, "Is this for written or spoken English?" And this is another important concept, that you are the learner, and you are really much more in control of your learning. You don't just have to take everything you get from a teacher. That's everything for today. I hope that you found this helpful. If you feel like supporting this podcast, there's a link in the podcast description where you can donate. And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me through Instagram. My new Instagram name is @english.for.introverts. English for introverts, with a period between each word. You can also come and join our Facebook group if you're also an introverted language learner. There's a link for that in the bio of my Instagram. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.